Romans, the 15th chapter, and verses 4 through 13 are our scripture lesson for this morning. Will you receive and hear these words? For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God of your Father, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another. Therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the prophets, the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. And him, the Gentiles, have hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The roots of our hope. Let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. On this second Sunday of Advent, I was led to Paul's letter to the church at Rome. I have always been challenged by what Paul was about in Rome. For what was happening is that a diverse group of people were coming together out of their shared belief that Jesus is the Messiah. Diversity is very much a part of our language today. And yet there is sometimes the feeling that it is all right as long as everything remains the same. What we were speaking to here is something that was clearly different. For the Jewish community's feeling was if they were the heir to the promise of the Messiah. A community which had the law of Moses and all the rest that the religious leaders had added. And then Gentiles. Not only persons who were not Jewish, but persons who were very much those who worshipped idols, or persons who may not have had any worship at all. And yet they come to the realization of who the true and living God is through the gift of Jesus Christ. And so all kinds of things are happening. All kinds of things are happening, and they become foundational to what faith is all about. People in diverse community were discovering who they really were as children of God. people in diverse communities were discovering that they had a bond with each other. And the walls that were separating them came tumbling down. In discovering these things, people were free. It was the most difficult kind of freedom, in that it came with all kinds of responsibilities. Chief among those responsibilities was the need to be unified. This was their witness to the rest of the climate and community that was going on around them, that there would be unity. Too often today, we would conclude, it doesn't matter if the church is together. In our United Methodist Church, we talk about open hearts, open minds, and open doors. And yet, we can be so closed to each other. Paul would never agree. Paul would never agree that it doesn't matter if we are together. And so when you come to these words in chapter 15, he is saying that in Christ there is unity. And when that unity is threatened, we have hope. One commentary I was reading said that it is tempting to think that Paul misspoke and he really meant to say there is love. No, Paul meant to say, may the God of hope. And out of the birth of Christ, or as Isaiah would say it, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall have hope. And so Paul is expressing that it is hope. What does this hope look like? I believe that it is two-sided. For George E. Westbrook said, "For God has made us that we can somehow bear pain and sorrow and even tragedy." Hope is not an escape from these things. Instead, hope tells us that God is with us in the midst of all that we might experience. God is with us in the midst of all that we might experience. The other side of this hope is to dream. The first black female American astronaut was Mae Jemison. She was one of only 15 persons selected from some 2,000 applicants to enter into the space program. When asked what motivated her for travel in space, she replied, "The stars. The stars." From childhood, she was fascinated by the stars and wanted to live even closer to them. The stars. Hope is a powerful tool. And Paul would say that, he would say that it leads to joy. Their joy, this joy, would be described in their worship. For in their worship, there would be praise and thanksgiving. From their hope would be joy, and from their joy would be peace. In this unity, there is peace. Not a conditional kind of peace, but a peace that says within oneself, a peace that brings about true community. One final thought then. In Advent, Paul offers us a vision. He offers us a vision that in the roots of the gospel, there is hope. And so, this is the promise. This is the promise. That the world, that the church offers the world today. And when you think about all of the hopelessness all around us, and sometimes the hopelessness that we might feel within, when you think about all of these things, the promise that the church offers the world today is there is hope. I think we all know how much four-letter words are a part of our culture today. The church has a four-letter word. Hope. Hope. And I really believe it takes away the meaning and the devastation and the hopelessness in all of the rest. There is hope. Amen. Amen.